This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Wow, the 27th day of November kind of snuck up on us. Today is the end of our ATF raffle. It's Thanksgiving Eve, and everybody's sort of got one foot out the door around here. I noticed I'm out there walking around, and place is kind of empty this morning. What do you think?
Well, you have a little extra pep in your step.
I don't know. I brought in food this morning. We had a little early Thanksgiving here. We want to say thank you to everyone. I'm going to get Carl a drink here in a few minutes, so I'm going to say thank you to Carl.
Woo,
woo. Because, you know, 7 in the morning, what else would you do?
I'm telling you, it's like the airport here where time doesn't matter.
It's
like,
true.
It's acceptable, apparently, to do anything.
Time does not matter.
I don't have to be over at Enterprise Center until 2 o'clock.
You're going to get a nap, Carl?
I don't think so.
Oh, come on.
I would do anything if to squeeze in a nap. You're so nonchalant about it.
Yeah. Off
yeah,
tomorrow.
We'll all have a late night tonight. So we get up at when you get up at 3 or 3:30, you've got to you got to plan a little siesta in there somewhere. All right. For those of you who've contributed to the ATF raffle, thank you so much. We've still got 5 hours to go, and you still have plenty of time. Just text the word responder to 33100. All of the money going to responderrescue.org. If you missed our interview yesterday with Courtney Harris, please go back and listen. She's a local former police officer, had to give up her job because of a disorder with her jaw. Insurance wouldn't cover the cost of fixing it. And Responder Rescue stepped in to the tune of nearly $60,000 to help her out. And she's gotten her life back. And now she's studying, about to graduate as an EMT. And we're so proud of her. And these are the kinds of things we're helping fund when we do this. I will announce the prizes. I'll pick the winners this afternoon at 12:30 out at the Range St. Louis West. And we'll stream that live on Facebook. But in the meantime, you still have time to make your donation. And then you'll have a chance to win alcohol, tobacco, or firearms. How could you go wrong? Thousands of dollars worth of prizes. That's Responder to 33100. All right. Thanks to everybody who's joining us today. We're going to get to Congressman Eric Burleson coming up at the bottom of the hour. Speaking of the ATF, he'd like to abolish the government agency known as the ATF. We'll get his thoughts on that and the new Congress coming in at 7:35. So we will absolutely get to that for you. But right now, I want to get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Under the deal reached today, effective at 4 a.m. tomorrow local time, the fighting across the Lebanese-Israeli border will end. Will end.
Yep. If you say it twice, it confirms that it'll end. That's Joe Biden trying to claim some last-minute success here in the Middle East. But the war with Hamas is apparently not over.
Let me be clear on Hamas, and the Prime Minister was very clear about this. We will complete the task of obliterating Hamas. There's no deal to be made with Hamas.
Yeah, that is David Mentzer is his name. He is, although he sounds British, he works for the Israeli government. And he goes, we are not giving up one iota on this, even though hostilities hopefully will cease with Hezbollah.
My country is in its adolescence. Adolescence is very arrogant. Adolescence thinks it knows everything.
Yeah, adolescence saved the world. You washed up Hollywood actress. That's Sharon Stone showing other parts of her self yesterday in Italy.
Reality is, I have no cash.
Yeah, me neither. And Christmas is coming. What do you do when you have no cash? That was Rudy Giuliani. Did you hear that soundbite yesterday?
No.
The poor guy. I mean, they've dragged him through the mud, of course, with convictions and legal expenses and all of that. I mean, Donald Trump obviously has been attacked from all sides by lawfare, right? By Democrats, by these different civil cases and all of that. But the jury awarded $148 million in damages to Georgia election workers because of what Rudy Giuliani said about the 2020 election down there. And he basically came out yesterday and said, listen, I don't have any money. And if I spend the money that I do have, which is through my business, they'll throw me in jail for that, unlike Hunter Biden, who spent his money recklessly, never registered as a foreign agent, and there was no consequence whatsoever to what he did. It's sad. It really is sad. Listen to Rudy here.
Reality is, I have no cash. It's all tied up. So right now, if I wanted to call a taxi cab, I can't do it. I don't have a credit card. I don't have a checking account. I have no place I can go take cash out except a little bit that I saved, and it's getting down to almost nothing. I have a business. I can do business expenses, but I'm very careful about that because, God forbid, I should make a mistake between a personal and a business expense. Unlike Hunter Biden, I go to jail right away.
Yeah, you think?
I mean, that was what they were trying to do to Trump, was they were trying to drain him of all of his money, right?
Right. And Hunter Biden blew a bunch of his business money on hookers and blow and then recorded all of it, and they did nothing about it. Now, I brought this up earlier. See, the Hunter Biden laptop, right? The smoking gun, so to speak, of the Biden crime family. It had the emails. It had emails with the big guy. It had photos. It had telephone messages, iMessages. It had everything on this laptop. We knew about the laptop before the election in 2020. The media wouldn't report on it. We knew about it. They wouldn't report on it before the midterm. Catherine Herridge from CBS News, formerly of CBS News, went out yesterday and absolutely blasted her former employer for what they knew and when they knew it. And just listen to a little bit of this because it is disturbing.
We eventually broadcast a story about the Hunter Biden laptop after the midterm elections in 2022. We commissioned a forensic review. I got a copy of the laptop data. I have it here still. I went to a lot of effort to get the cleanest copy of the laptop data, the same data that was provided to the FBI, because I didn't want to have any professional journalistic risk for CBS News. I wanted this thing to be totally locked down. When we did the story, we did it after the midterms. I argued against that because it was ready before the midterms. And my training is that you should always do the story when it's ready to go. You should not be dictated by the political cycle. Once we got the laptop story on the morning news, I felt that there was so much there that we could still do. For example, in the text messages, there's unfortunately the use of the N-word, the liberal use of the N-word. And I thought this was worthy of a story, but I was told that it was not something that interested CBS News. Then I asked for a forensic review of the laptop, and we found that there were more than half a dozen emails that were likely used by Joe Biden. I thought that was a story. But the answer that came back was, well, we need to know what the content is of the emails. But that was going to be a years-long process. So there was no way. So there were a lot of reasons I was told not to do it, not to pursue it.
Wow. At every level, they stopped her.
And really no major outlets, with the exception of a few, like Fox, has really investigated that story or given it the attention that it deserves.
One American News, Newsmax, and that's about it. Honestly, right. a few print publications, but that is about it. Very sad. All right, quick break here. My friend Mike McKenna is going to stop by from the new Macadoodles in town, coming up in the next segment. And bottom of the hour, we are going to get you to Congressman Eric Burleson on his attempt to ban the ATF. We'll be right back. All right, let's get this party started. And if you're looking for a great place to stop by, you've heard me talk about Macadoodles, the brand new store out in Darden Prairie there at Bryan and Fizey Roads. Mike McKenna, the managing partner, is in studio with us this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me today,
great
Mark.
To see you, my friend.
Yeah, you as well. You look so festive today.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm feeling the spirit of the season here. You're so tall that we need to adjust the camera up. We're cutting off the top of Mike's head there. But I just squat
just get
down.
This at the
bend
right
down
height
the
here.
Entire time.
Yeah,
I'm sure you were used to that as an NHL goalie, right?
Well, you know, I'm kind of in my goalie stance right now.
Yeah,
so
you're squatting down.
I can hold this position for quite some time as we adjust to it. But yeah, you know, it's funny that my background as a hockey player is kind of inconsequential to what I'm doing now, but in some ways you find little parallels in what you do, and it's been a lot of fun to do something completely different like this and use my brain in different areas and find out about an industry that I knew a little bit about but now know kind
everything.
Of a lot about without, yeah. You know, only having like a week of experience on the job.
What,
so
what did make you want to get into this? I mean, because like you said, this is totally different from what you were doing.
Yeah. You know, I think for me, the biggest thing is just trying to find something I could have that would be a stable career. You know, I have two kids that are 8 and 11 years old. My daughters are both, you know, they're active. They're like any other kid. They play sports or in school. And I found myself traveling a lot and you're hustling to do media, which I had done after my playing career. And it just got to the point where I was like, man, you know, I went to school for a reason because I expected to have a career someday. I could keep grinding and grinding with uncertainty, or maybe I can put all my weight behind something and really go to it. And, yeah. You know, this business opportunity came up within some friends of ours, a guy named Tom Kyman, who does Mia Rose Holdings, developments all around town in the Midwest, and then Jim Cook, restaurateur, real estate guy, whose son Brady, who you may know, happens to be the quarterback for the Mizzou Tigers.
Yes, indeed.
And that just kind of led me down this path. And, you know, I had a passing interest all along in bourbon and spirits and wine, and now it kind of plays into what I do now.
Yeah, and that this gives you the freedom to do it the way you want to do it, right?
Yeah.
And you talked to me about that the other day. You can put your own personal touch on this.
Yeah, and you know what's really cool about Macadoodles is you can walk in that building, and if I'm there, I can show you every little aspect of our building
yeah.
that in some ways has either my fingerprints or one of our partners' fingerprints or even a customer that's recommended something. It's nice to have that personalized feel to it to our store, which is, in my eyes, a lot different than, you know, some of the big box stores that are in liquor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
nice.
It's very personalized feel when you walk in.
I think what's cool that you've described is that you have a bar where you can do wine tastings, because, you know, you have had me try some bourbon that I really did enjoy.
But flavored bourbon, generally.
Yes,
yeah,
flavored bourbon.
Okay.
We'll right. clarify that. But that's not my go-to, but I do enjoy wine. So it's neat that you kind of have both, and you can go and sample some great wines when you're there, too.
Yeah, and it's interesting because spirits really drive your sales. Bourbon right now is the category that everybody's looking towards. But wine is just a really consistent category, and I love wine. And what's funny about it is that I've spent hardly any time in our wine room. You know, we have an incredible wine manager. Kat is fantastic, and our floor supervisor, Cindy, they do a great job, but I'm kind of over in spirits.
Mm-hmm.
So we take a ton of pride in our wine room. When you walk in, it's big and open. There's a huge atrium with exposed wood, and it's kind of like this elevated Clampett rural Ozarks feel.
That's cool.
But super approachable. Like, I mean, I'm wearing jeans, a t-shirt, and a backwards hat, and that's the feel we have in our store. Is you walk in and the people that are working there look like they're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like they've come in to enjoy their job rather than come in and feel like they're the maitre d' at, you know, downtown St. Louis restaurant yeah. 30 years ago, right? It's a different feeling.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun. And the tasting room, I got some pictures of it up on Facebook. I did a post when I was out there the other day, and that atrium is just, is that trademark for Macadoodles? Because I think I was at the one in Columbia one time. The store down there. I can't remember if they had that or not.
It's the Columbia store does. It's a feature of McAdoodles that's not in every. The first couple locations actually had a wine cellar.
Oh.
Now, as you learn about development, you find out how expensive it is to dig a hole.
Yeah.
So, you know, instead of going down, we decided to go up and create the space. And it was the brainchild of Roger Gildahouse, the founder of McAdoodles, that he just created this incredible brand and this incredible package for people to be able to enjoy. And it's part of it is you've got this huge open area with all these pictures of wine regions and different varietals all around the room.
So I was in there the other day and you had a couple of bottles open. You brought a couple of those in this morning and I'll walk my cup over to you as you tell us about them.
Well, I know you might be ready for a little tipple over here, as we might say, but I brought a couple of fun things. So the first thing I brought, and I'm actually going to open up this live on air, is what we call our Sugar Doodle. Now, this is a barrel pick from Maker's Mark that we did in conjunction with our neighbors at Sugar Fire. And it's got a stave profile of 44200. So it makes it a little bit sweet at the start, comes around on the finish, strong on the nose, and it's at like 111 proof. So it's pretty strong, but doesn't drink like it, Mark.
Yeah.
And, you know, for us, we thought it was a fun thing to do from the start. And again, I like bourbon. I like what I have. But the cool part is the feedback from the folks who just really love bourbon. They've been pretty hot on this.
Wow. The sweetness on the back end of that is amazing. Now, I love Makers to begin with. Kim, you would not like this.
Yeah, I'm getting that vibe.
Can I just tell you that?
When you're describing it, sounds really good.
Well, that's my job.
Well, you did a great job of that. For me, I'm just not a big bourbon drinker.
Before we run out of time, this is delicious. You can find this in the store right now, right?
Absolutely.
I saw the display
when
I was there the other day. Yep. But talk about the allocateds for just a minute, because you are getting them in, and you love to just randomly drop them on occasion, don't you?
I do. I don't, just like your Christmas sweater.
Yeah, thank you.
Of our former and soon to be again President Mr. Trump with the Santa hat on. I enjoy playing Santa.
Yeah.
So I like to walk the shelves and see when people aren't there and put a bottle out for them to find for allocated. And now allocated bourbons are they're the holy grails here.
That's
right?
It. Yes.
You know, and there's some that if you put them out, they're gone immediately. Everybody's asking you all the time. Here's the bottom line. I don't lie to people. If they ask me what we have, I'll tell them, but we only put out a certain amount over time.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to come in and have a chance at our store. And we've just gotten stuff in. We got some 13th Colony Double Oak come in. Mm-hmm. We got some Cigar Blend Joseph Magnus come in. Are they going to be out today? I can't tell you that. That's the fun of this
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
We got a whole month to ramp up until jolly old St. Nick comes flying down the runway here. You know what I mean? So that's our policy. We put things out. We give everybody a chance for it. Our most rare items, we will end up raffling some of those, but that's a very small percentage of the allocated.
This should be a very busy day at McAdoodles today out at Bryan and Fizey Roads, huh?
Yeah, we're anticipating it being one of our biggest days. And I tell you what, we've, even in the last week here, we've listened to our customers. We've slashed prices across the board. So we feel that right now we're as competitive as can be with pricing. Come in, talk to us, give us feedback.
Yeah.
That's what we want. We want to talk to you and find out what you like, what you don't like, how we can improve.
Love that. Mike McKenna, thank you for all you do, my friend. Thank you for the sample this morning.
Well, cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you for having us.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
We'll get you one
happy
over here, too.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Yes, sir. Thanks for coming down. Mike McKenna from McAdoodles out in Darden Prairie. Coming up here in a couple of minutes as I finish my little sip of Maker's Mark this morning, we're going to talk to Congressman Eric Burleson, who wants to end the ATF. All right, we're having a great morning here, and I have to tell you, I think it's probably important for me to point out here. I am holding a rally called the ATF Rally, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. We're drawing a winner in about 5 hours out at the Range St. Louis West. You can still buy tickets. That's not the ATF my next guest is talking about banning. This is the fun ATF. It's the government agency that Congressman Eric Burleson would like to see go away, and we've got him on the phone this morning. Congressman, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Good to have you on, my friend. It's been a while, and congratulations on your reelection.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It was a squeaker.
Well, here's the thing, man. We've talked a lot about this, that the Republicans keeping the House and adding the Senate. I mean, there's got to be a lot of energy going into this next session.
Yeah, we still have a lot of hope. And I, you know, as someone who has only been in office for a few years, I've looked back on the times that I watched Republicans take control of all three branches and then totally blow it and not get anything done. And so I feel personally a lot of tremendous, you know, stress and an understanding that we cannot let down the Republican Party. We can't let down the American people again, like previous Republican majorities have done. And so I think that what we've got that's different this time is we have a very bold president who means what he says. And you can tell in these cabinet picks that he's not going to be pushed around by Washington, D.C. anymore. And so I think it's been great to watch.
It's important.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, you need people who are disruptors. I've said that more than once. If you're taking somebody who's part of the establishment and sticking them into an agency you want to change, then that's not going to happen.
That's right. And that's why, you know, the swamp came after him with everything they've got. They failed. And now the American people have sent Trump in with a mandate. And I think that these senators and the members of Congress should be reminded that Trump dragged them across the finish line to be in the majority.
Yes.
If when you look across the United States, a lot of these purple districts, Trump led the Republican senator and the Republican House member in those purple districts. He was the one leading the ticket. They are relying on his tailcoats. So they should not be standing in the way of his agenda.
Well, I hope they remember that, because I've already heard a few senators who are claiming they're gonna stand up, they're gonna do this, they're gonna do that, and, you know, not give him his picks. You know, I always remind people, and I don't hear the mainstream media talk about this at all. There's all this controversy over the idea of recess appointments. Barack Obama did it 32 times. 132 House Democrats signed a letter encouraging him to make recess appointments, and now suddenly it's controversial.
Yeah, I mean, recess appointments were made by George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison. It goes all the way back. I mean, it's been done thousands of times, and yet now that we're in charge, and now that Donald Trump is coming in, they're going to start acting like this is unconventional.
Yeah.
So it's ridiculous.
I know there's a lot of talk about different things we could do as far as the Department of Education, the FDA, the CDC, and I'm excited about all of that. But how realistic is it? And then obviously, I know we're talking about the ATF in your case, but how realistic is it that we could see some of these departments be flipped on their heads?
I think that, I don't know. I've never been in this situation. I don't know that the U.S. government has been in this situation before where we're finally... We have a bold effort to try to consolidate and eliminate some of these federal branches. I don't know, having not been there before and not done that before, I can't tell you, but I can say it's not going to be easy.
Right.
It certainly is going to be very difficult. But my thought is that Donald Trump isn't running for reelection. His goal is to save America and create a lasting legacy.
Yep.
And I think that is a very powerful message, and courage can be contagious. So this idea that you've got Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, along with Ron Paul, people often forget Ron Paul is part of this effort, the Doge effort, that they're going to be putting together a massive, you know, agenda and a plan, and then they're going to back it with money that Musk says is going to go into primaries to primary Republicans if they're not going to do their job.
I love that.
And that I love it. That's, I mean, you got Trump that's providing courage, and then you got a little bit of the stick on the back end that's providing courage.
You know, I talked yesterday about your announcement that you would like to see, hey, if we're going to start eliminating agencies that don't do a lot, how about the ATF, which has spent the last 4 years harassing small business owners and trying to run small gun shops out of business with all their paperwork and regulations? Tell me about your bill and what it would do exactly.
Yeah, it's just recognizing the reality that, which is that the ATF is an agency that has doesn't have the people, it doesn't have the resources to enforce federal law, and they often are enforcing things that are not passed by Congress, that are not passed by state legislatures. They're enforcing their own new rules that they've established. And their new rules immediately make felons out of everyday Americans. When they passed the pistol brace rule, they made tens of millions of Americans a felon if they did not remove the pistol brace from their AR-15.
Right.
So this agency made tons of people felons who when they changed the definition of business for sale of firearms, including the disaster that happened in March in Arkansas, where you have a guy who was a stand-up community leader, who was one of the executives at the airport. They raided his home, and it ended up in a gunfight, very similar to what happened in Ruby Ridge, if you remember that event.
Sure.
And the guy ended up being shot in the head. So you cannot tell me that this agency is a successful agency. They repeatedly violate the Second Amendment on everyday Americans, and then they have all these disaster, absolute debacles that happen from Ruby Ridge to what happened in Waco. You have the Operation Fast and Furious. This agency needs to go away, and we need to just let the states do what they are responsible for. Missouri has laws on the books to regulate firearms. Don't allow the ATF to come in and commandeer the sheriff and the police that you're paying taxes for to enforce their stupid rules that they pass in Washington, D.C. Let your local sheriff enforce the firearms and the firearms laws that are passed in Missouri by Missouri legislators.
Boy, I hope it gains some ground. It makes such common sense. Hey, before we run out of time, we're talking to Congressman Eric Burleson. All of this talk about cutting. I know Congress controls the purse strings. The president can't just eliminate money, but a lot of these department heads have a lot of, leverage on how much they spend and input. That's where the difference can be made, right? Like if you've got people that Donald Trump has picked to be the head of HHS or Department of Homeland Security, like Kristi Noem, they can go in and they can line item budget spending, can't they? Can they not do that?
No, I mean, sadly, the way this is a complete disaster, but it has been done this way since the Nixon administration. They're not allowed to withhold money. So the president is not allowed to, like the governor of Missouri doesn't have to spend every dollar that's appropriated by the legislature. But that on the federal level, they have to. And that's why you see these crazy expenditures happen at the end of the fiscal cycle, where they're buying, lobster for their team and spending tons of money. That needs to change. We need to allow the president to use impoundment.
Yes.
To make sure that we don't spend things that are inappropriate.
Are you hopeful at all? Like, do you have any confidence that we can hold this thin majority together in the House and the Senate and actually get some of this accomplished?
I think that if you there's this mentality, the traditional mentality is that and this is the way whenever I first came into politics, this is what I was told, is that you've got to be careful. Don't do anything bold. If you do, you might lose your seat. You might lose the majority. Right. And I think that the opposite is true. The truth is people expect you to do the right thing and do the bold. And that sometimes that means being courageous and doing the bold thing. And I think that people respond to courage and they respond to people who are principled. And I think if they know that you're doing it for the right reasons, they'll get behind you.
Boy.
So, and at the end of the day, if you're, if that's not the case and you're going to lose, at least do something during the time in which you've got the majority.
Amen. Congressman Eric Burleson, we appreciate your time. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
You too, Mark and Kim. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, appreciate you, my friend. Thank you for coming on with us this morning and kind of giving us an insight on that. And I don't know, he's quite cautiously optimistic, it sounds like.
I mean, I sure hope they can get some of these things accomplished. Obviously, some of the things that have been thrown out at this point have been big. You know, these big promises, and we're all waiting to see what's going to happen, what can come to fruition. But at least one of them. I mean, like dismantling the Department of Education or, you know, in Congressman Burleson's case, it's the ATF.
The ATF, yeah absolutely. What is Kim on a whim about?
Well, Mark, are you feeling stressed, anxious right now?
Yeah, about whether or not I can get enough turkey tomorrow before my nephews eat it all.
That's very stressful, but there's a lot of people right now who are really stressed out knowing that Donald Trump is about to take office again. And Michelle Obama, she wants to help.
Oh, wow. Wow. Michelle is back. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Kim on a whim.
My new workbook, Overcoming, is out. It's going to be on shelves. This is the first time I've held it myself. This is a timely gift or purchase for yourself, because this is a workbook that takes you through some techniques and exercises based on some of the insights I shared with you all in the light that we carry. So I encourage you, particularly during this time, during the holiday season, during a time where we feel a little out of sorts, a little anxious, I urge you to pick this book up and just walk through some of the exercises.
Mark, I don't normally like to tell people what I'm getting them ahead of time, you know, for Christmas, but I just felt like this book really spoke to me. I think Michelle Obama probably has some really good insight on how to deal with anxiousness, because so many people, she says, are feeling anxious right now. Of course, she doesn't say it's because Kamala Harris was whooped in the election, but that's she's insinuating that.
Don't you think it's coincidental? Because here's the thing about it. Books do not happen overnight. She didn't start writing this book last week. She didn't start writing it 3 weeks ago before the election. She had to start 6 months ago. So they knew Joe Biden wasn't going to get reelected, and they knew that a self-help book might sell, right? Because she can only speak to people who are hurting because of the loss from the election. She even suggests it in that comment, doesn't she?
I think so. It's funny the reaction that she's gotten. People said, nobody cares. Another one, I'd rather hug a grizzly bear or spend a day shopping at the mall than read that garbage book. I can't wait to not read that.
Oh my gosh.
You know, the Obamas, one thing I'm thankful for this Thanksgiving is that hopefully we don't have to see much more of the Obamas. You know, I this is coming from someone who voted for Barack Obama. In the very first election I could vote, that's who I supported. That's fine. Every time I admit that on the air, you play it, and that's acknowledged. I get it, Mark. See, you're feeling anxious that I just told you that, so maybe you really do need this workbook. It's a workbook. It's not even a book. It's a workbook. She says it's called Overcoming, and she says, you know what? Get your gal pals together. Men, you're not excluded. This could help you, too. You go to those little group, you know, book clubs that you have, and you meet with every month, you know, where you don't really read the book, and then the day before the book club meeting, you scan it really fast,
or you
look up the cliff notes,
and
you're like, oh my gosh, you remember like one part of it, and you're like, that was fantastic. We all know what happens at those book clubs, all right? Don't pretend you actually read those books.
Here's the sad part about it. Michelle Obama wants to counsel you for overcoming uncertain times. She had to know in advance that this was going to be needed right now. She knew that Joe Biden wasn't going to win, so she probably started writing it then. They never had any confidence, despite a few campaign appearances, that Kamala Harris was going to win. So now she's hawking a book. They probably paid her $2-3 million in advance before she even prints one of these books. And the cheapest copy of it is, if you get it on Kindle, $12.99.
Well, she can donate the proceeds to the Kamala Harris campaign that overspent.
Let me save you some money. For $8, you can get Wiggins' new book, The Grocery List, and you can at least get a laugh out of it. All right?
There you go.
Absolutely. I ordered it yesterday.
That is money well spent.
My copy comes Friday, so I'm looking forward to that. Wiggins has a brand new book out called The Grocery List, Food for Thought. And that would probably put people in a much better mindset than Michelle Obama's new book.
I'm just I have such a thing with these self-help books because I think they've gotten completely out of control and they go way too far. And it's this whole thing about, you know, you have to love yourself before you can love somebody else. That's nonsense. I'm not saying it's good to hate yourself, but some of the things that these self-help books try to say are ridiculous. Like, I was driving into work this morning. They had someone on the Gordon Deal show, and they're talking about how you should be more ungrateful. I'm not kidding. They said that it's toxic if you act too grateful. Now, can it be frustrating when someone walks around and, you know, they're like, oh my gosh, everything's amazing. This is fantastic. Nothing's ever wrong. Like, I get that that can be frustrating.
That's
okay.
Extra.
That's a little extra. But to be told that you should practice ungratefulness is ridiculous. There's so much to be grateful for. Even in the tough circumstances, there are little things you can be grateful for. So I don't understand why anybody would sit there and tell somebody to be more ungrateful. And I'm not even changing the words. That was basically
what
she was telling people. she wrote an entire article about it. So this Thanksgiving, guys, when everyone goes around your dinner table and says what they're grateful for, why don't you be different, okay? And you say what you're ungrateful for. Just rattle them off.
Gosh. Michelle Obama's brand new book is out. I guess Barack's book's not out yet. Swimming with the Chef.
Maybe next election when they lose again,
yeah,
his
maybe,
will come out.
Maybe that one's coming out next. We'll see what happens. All right. Next hour, our friend Griff Jenkins, bonus Griff, because we won't be here tomorrow on Thanksgiving. We're going to get him on here talking about the latest ICE operation and a local gang threat. We'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.